Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast with me, Alison Perry. My guest today is Lydia Bright, TV personality, influencer, entrepreneur, and now children's author. Lydia, who is a mum to toddler Loretta, has her debut picture book coming out on February the 1st called Mummy and Me. Lydia, a warm welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a lovely introduction as well.
Oh, how are you doing today? What's your day been like so far, Lydia?
So far, it's 11 o'clock now. So I woke up, I took Loretta to nursery. She really didn't want to go to nursery this morning. Well, she's at like preschool. She starts like the real deal in September, but she really didn't want to go this morning because we've been away on holiday in Australia. This will be her first official week back. But this morning she woke up crying and said, I want to go back to Australia. Oh. And I was like, darling, I wish we could live on a beach and be on holiday as well.
I bet you were like, join the club.
Exactly. I was like, you have to go to preschool today. So she was very teary on her way to preschool. And then I dropped off, went and did a quick workout, came back, had my breakfast. And then here I am talking to you.
Fantastic. It's so hard, isn't it? Because obviously you want to be taking your kids amazing places and going on holidays. But I've had that before as well, where we've been somewhere really magical with, you know, one of my kids, and then we come back and they're just absolutely devastated that we can't just like live on the beach. It's like, yep, that's it. Get used to it.
Do you know what it is as well? I think that when you're on holiday, obviously you can give them like 100% undivided attention. Yeah. So she had like 2 and a bit weeks of us doing like magical adventures every day, going to the zoo, going to the beach, and take away the adventures, it was just like 100% devoted time, me to her, and especially because the time difference as well. It weren't really like I could do emails in the day, because sometimes even when I'm on holiday, I'm still overwork. Because the time difference, yeah, I was never really doing anything apart from giving her 100% attention. And then we've come back now, and it's the reality of life. You know, I'm back at work, you know, she's got to go to school, and you know, it's doing housework. And as well, where we stayed in like a small little Airbnb that was just like one room, a little mini kitchen, little mini bathroom, now we're back in this house as well. I found the first 3 or 4 days she was just following me around constantly.
Oh, bless her.
Because she's been so used to us being in this like close proximity with each other, and then she came back here and she's just been like petrified to be left in a room by herself. It's like getting used to not having like me as a shadow, like attached to her 24/7 of the day. But you know, it's reality.
It is, isn't it? And you mentioned magical adventures that you've been having abroad, and that that really kind of like ties into the theme of your book, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because in the book, you're the characters, Mummy and Etta, the elephant, go on this amazing, amazing magical adventure. How important was it to you? It's clearly something that kind of rings true and you hold deep in your heart in terms of wanting to be having those experiences with Loretta.
Yeah.
Is that why that's like a really strong theme running through the book?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I first started writing the book like 4 years ago, over 4 years ago now, actually, when I was pregnant with Loretta, the whole idea with the book was that I just wanted to have like a really beautiful story, and it have kind of like an underlining message, which was just to kind of represent single parent families. And then over the years, because of it has been in development for such a long period of time, I then kind of felt like I wanted the story to represent me and Loretta, and to represent parts of her personality. So it's evolved so much from the first draft. And a big thing, that I try and do in our lives together is just to fill it with loads of adventure. I mean, my favourite quote of all time from Alice in Wonderland is the greatest gift that you could ever have given her is a lifetime full of adventures. And that's just kind of like something that I've always tried to live by, just trying to fill our lives with, so much adventure and, you know, feeding her curiosity. She's naturally like a very inquisitive child. She's very fearless. She's just got bundles of energy and bundles of personality. And I've always kind of wanted to feed into that and just fill our life with so much. So that's kind of something that I wanted to incorporate within the book, just filling our life with adventure. Because I think that that's just such an important part of childhood, isn't it? The idea of just always being on an adventure.
Yeah, and it really comes through in the book. But also one of my favourite things about the book is the fact that the mum elephant just wants a wee sit down and a cup of tea. Like, she just wants a bit of peace. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I feel like this is my life. Like, it's just my, I've got 5-year-old twins and they've just got boundless energy. Goodness. And they're always like, you know, wanting to do this and that and get the paints out and the Play-Doh and everything else. And I'm like, do you want to just sit and play with your dolls and have a cup of tea instead? You know, so it just felt like such a mirror that you were holding up to so many mums there.
So many mums. And also as well, just going back to the thing that I just really wanted, like when Loretta's personality started shining through and when like the dynamics of our relationship started developing as she was getting older, because obviously when they're a baby they don't really, they're all the same, aren't they? That was the thing I just really kind of wanted the story to just mirror our life, which will be so similar to so many parents. And naturally me and Loretta's characters are quite different. Growing up as a child, I was really quite shy and I was very very much into like dollies and Barbies and like peaceful, quiet play. Whereas Loretta's complete opposite to that. Loretta would much prefer to be like climbing off the highest climbing frame in the park, whereas I was always very careful. She's always been like dinosaurs over dollies. Like at the age of 2, she could list every single dinosaur. She's just a lot more like rough and tumble. So I kind of wanted the book to just represent those complete contrasts of our personality. And despite us being just so different, we just have this like a magical relationship.
It's brilliant. It's lovely. I've got to ask you, because we know that language matters. What's your preferred way of talking about your family setup? Because you've got like single motherhood, solo parenting, lone parenting. There's quite a few different ways to describe it, isn't there?
Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, I'd probably just say that I'm a single parent, really.
I've heard some people saying that it should be described as double parenting rather than single parenting, which I thought that's nice.
What is double parent? I feel like there's all these labels, isn't it? And I feel like...
Well, double parenting isn't really a thing. But I saw somebody saying, I'm a single parent, but actually, I think I should be called a double parent because I'm doing two jobs instead of one. And I was like, actually, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, I never really like label what it is, because sometimes I almost feel a little bit guilty to even say that I'm a single parent because... you know, I get so much support from my family. So I don't ever feel like I am doing it singly. Like, I think with parenting, whether you are a two-parent family living in a house or a single parent living in a house, you still need a village, especially if you're working parents. So, you know, I do normally say that I'm a single parent, but, Yeah, I almost even feel guilty saying that because of, yeah, I do get a lot of support. I live
But you
so
shouldn't, because it's not like, it's not like single parenting is some kind of badge of honour that only people who really struggle are allowed to wear. You know, it's just, it's just explaining the fact that, yes, you may well have support from your family, but you don't have that other person who you can share default parenting with, you know, and that's going to change your experience.
Yeah. Okay. So I will say I am a single parent and I will say it proud.
You say whatever you like, Lydia.
Yeah. I will say that I am a single parent. You know, I am raising Loretta. She lives with me exclusively. And, you know, yeah, I'm raising her to the best of my abilities, but I do also rely on my village and I'm so grateful for them. And if I didn't have them, then I wouldn't be able to do half of what I do in terms of like career wise and, you know, being able to go to the gym. And so I'm very grateful as well that I've got that village. And I think that we all need a village, whatever that looks like, whether that's family, whether that's childcare, we all need a village as well to help us.
Yeah. So who's in your village? How do you make that juggle between work and motherhood?
Yes. Work? So I was,
you clearly do it amazingly.
Yeah. So I was very lucky. I'm a massive believer in destiny, and I think that everything happens in your life at the right time. And Loretta was born 2 weeks as we went into COVID, which meant that I ended up locking down with my family in the family home. And so did my siblings. Well, one of my sisters had moved out. She moved back. We all locked in together. Wow. So those first couple of years, my family were massively involved in helping me raise Loretta, which I'm so grateful for. And people often talk about, you know, the negative aspects of COVID. But for me, again, I feel quite selfishly saying this, but it was the best thing, like in terms of timing. Yeah. I obviously wish that COVID never happened, but if it was ever going to happen in my lifetime, gosh, it happened at the perfect time. Mm. So they really helped me right at the beginning, because when Loretta was I went back to work straight away. In those 2 weeks that Loretta was born, I did 2 photo shoots, I did a filming day, I was back doing social content. You know, I work for myself, so I, you know, I'm very much like, you have to take the work when you get it, and you can't also stay out of the loop for too long, because then sometimes you lose the contracts and, you know, you have to still stay there. And also as well, I just actually love what I do. I've always been very entrepreneurial, and I've always been very driven, so I've always wanted to do the both. So
being, I think that's really refreshing to hear, actually, Lydia, because I think so often we hear, like, mums especially say, oh, I really felt like I had to go back to the work because, like, you know, obviously you just said, you know, work for myself, we need to keep things going, etc., etc. But actually it's okay to want to work as well. I was the same thing that when my twins were really small, my husband, he stopped working, so he was at home, and it allowed me to start to go back to work. And actually that wasn't just because I'm self-employed, it was also because actually I love this, and it's if I can go off and spend an hour creating some content or doing a podcast, then that fills me up, that makes me happy. And that, I think, definitely you'd say that more, don't we?
Yeah, I feel like motherhood fuels me in so many ways and gives me so much happiness, but I think work also fuels me in a completely different way. You know, I had to, because of no one else was paying for my mortgage, and I had to support my daughter, and, you know, I've had to pay the childcare, and, you know, I had to do it financially. But also as well, like, even if I did have somebody to lean on that could have supported me financially, in myself, I really did want to go back to work. And I'm very lucky that I have a career that I've always been able to steer in the path that I've wanted to steer it in. You know, when I had Loretta, that was a conscious decision that I made. I sold my fashion business just before she was born. And I kind of made the decision that I kind of really wanted to focus on doing more of the influencing, but going into the mummy sort of space. And then I decided that I wanted to write a book. So I've been very lucky that I've actually always been able to choose and divert my career into the path that I want to divert it into. And that has always given me job fulfillment, because I've always been able to choose. So I know I'm very lucky in that way. Yeah. But because of I went into lockdown with my family, they were so like readily available to help. I mean, two of my siblings were furloughed, so they had bundles of time. My dad, who's always worked in the building since he was like a teenager, he had to medically retire because of COVID. So there was all these people that were twiddling their thumbs that had all this time on their hands and didn't know what to do with it. So I was like, great. I've got something that would take, exactly. So yeah, they've been amazing. Obviously a lot of my siblings have now gone back to work, but my parents are really hands-on and my dad's still retired. So my dad helps me the most out of everyone. My dad's the one that's most hands-on. He does a lot of like pickups if I'm uptown, and he's just always there if ever I need him, like with Loretta or with the house. You know, I'm still renovating this home. My dad's always here, like helping whenever he can. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate that I've got like an amazing family. And then on top of that as well, like childcare, like I was so, I don't know if you felt the same, but I really beat myself up about sending Loretta to nursery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I maybe in my head I thought, oh, you know, I'll be able to manage it until she's like 3 or 2. And I had to send her before just to keep on top of everything, which again was my choice because I wanted to work as well. And I really beat myself up about that initially, sending her into nursery. But that became like a whole other, you know, support system, having those hours just to get on with things. And she really thrived in it. She now goes every day. But yeah, she really loves it, apart from this morning. Apart from this morning when she would have rather have been in Australia. But yeah, I mean,
we'll let her off.
We'll let her off, yeah. But she loves it. She's made all these little friends and yeah, I think that's important as well for their development, isn't it?
Totally. It's so good for them to go and have that independence and make friends and all the rest of it. So it's not just a selfish thing.
Yeah, and also as well for her to see that I work, like she knows that when she goes to school that mummy works, and she knows that I've got an office at home, this is my office and things, and just to like grow up knowing that like I've financially provided for her, you know, I've bought this house and, you know, I've always worked, and just to give her that drive. You know, I grew up with my mum always being a working mum, and my mum always pushed us from a young age, you know, to be ambitious and driven and strive for success, not always financial success, but just like being like the best in your field and enjoying what you do. So, you know, for her to see that as well, I think is a positive thing.
Absolutely. Is that something that you're consciously trying to instill in her?
Like, yeah, I mean, I feel like where she's, well, she'll be 4 soon. It's still like a bit early to kind of like actively enforce that. But like I'm doing it in kind of like hidden ways. You know, I'm teaching her like in the mornings as well. Like I make her do homework every single morning. And, you know, while she may be a little bit young, it's, you know, I'm just trying to teach her to like focus and, you know, strive to succeed. And, you know, I'll get her to do like tracing, like letter work and number work and stuff, and you know, really praise her when she succeeds and she gets that right. And that's just all about, you know, encouraging her to like work hard and giving her praise for doing that. Like I've always been very on it with the education with Loretta, from a young age.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How do you think, so you grew up with your parents fostered loads of kids, and that must have had an impact on you. Do you think that's affected how you parent Loretta? Do you think that you are a better mum for having grown up in that kind of household?
Definitely. I think in general, I'm a better person because of the upbringing that my parents gave me. You know, we talk about, don't we, like the life lottery, like what parents that you're born to. And I definitely think that I won the life lottery with my parents. Like, they're just amazing people. They're, you know, they're kind, they're hard workers, they're selfless. And they just gave me like such a magical upbringing, and they just instilled so many like morals and did such great groundwork with all their children. I'm not saying that I'm this amazing person, but I just think that they've always, you know, I've seen children come into care, into our house, and you know, they've arrived and they're disruptive and they're chaotic and angry, rightly so, all of those emotions are completely valid. And then I see them live with my parents for a year, and I see them blossom and flourish and become these wonderful children. And it just is complete merit to their parenting, because they can just turn these children's lives around so much. So, yeah, I'm super grateful for my upbringing. And, yeah, I definitely think that it's helped instill a lot on me growing up. We are a product of our childhood, aren't we?
We are.
So,
we are.
So I'm very grateful for that.
Is there any advice that either your mum or your dad has given you about parenting that really sticks in your head?
Yeah, I mean, my mum and dad have always been very good, that they've just kind of allowed me to do what I want. They're very involved, but they also appreciate, you know, that Loretta is my child and I choose to raise her how I want to. And they've never given opinions unless I've asked for them. But naturally, my character, my personality is, I'm like a massive perfectionist. I always have been. I mean, I've got a lot better since I've had Loretta, but I've always, like, even at school, like, I always put enormous pressure on myself at school to, like, get the best grades at the gym and, like, fitness. I've always been, you know, I have to, like, be a certain level of fitness. Like, I've always put enormous pressure on myself to be, like, perfectionist. And my mum, when I, had Loretta, was like, right, we need to let go of the expectations a little bit more, because of life isn't going to be perfect when you have children. You're going to have days where they just wake up and they're miserable for no reason. And, you know, you're going to have to, you know, deal with the obstacles that come with the tantrums, and life isn't going to be perfect. And you have to accept that, and you have to roll with that, and you can't get too stressed out when that happens, when life doesn't go 100% to plan. And I think that, my mum's advice on me, and also as well, I think just being a mother just allows you to let go of those extreme expectations that maybe we all put on our lives before kids, and just allows us to just not be as perfect. That, I'd like to think, even down to like posting on social media, I think before I had Loretta, like everything was like polished and stuff. And don't get me wrong, I still like my house to look a certain way. I still like my Instagram to look a certain way, and, you know, my image to look a certain way. But I think you do let things go a little bit more. You're not as strict and regimented on yourself, and you relax into things a little bit more, because actually you just don't sweat the small stuff as much, do you?
Well, you haven't got time to, have you? You've got so much more to crack on with and do.
Too much to juggle. Yeah, there is too much to juggle, to worry.
Now you co-parent, don't you, with your with Loretta's dad?
Again, like this is like I struggle like labeling things because of co-parenting as well. You know, I've been asked this so many, and I've looked into it, and I'm like, what does co-parenting mean? Does it mean like a 50-50 split? Does it mean involvement? Like me and Loretta's dad, I think, you know, here completely respect me saying that, like, I raise Loretta, she lives with me, and you know, I make like 90% of the decisions, and I'm the one that takes her on holiday, and you know, I support her like in most ways financially, but she still sees her dad. But I wouldn't say it's like, I don't know, what does co-parenting mean? It's like, it's hard to, I sometimes I think when you say co-parent, does that mean like a 50-50 split?
Because I guess, yeah, you're right. Because in my mind, I was like, oh, well, that must mean you've got some sort of arrangement where every, you know, every week for 2 days she's with him. And
yeah.
But it, I guess it's not always as formal as that, is it? And it can mean different things for different families.
Yeah, exactly. Loretta's dad works 6 days a week. So, you know, it would never be, and, you know, equal. Like I work as well, but it's a different work. So, and she lives with me, you know, she goes to school where I live, and Loretta's dad lives in North London. So we're not miles away from each other, but yeah, it's not like a split thing, but she still sees her dad. You know, she'll see him once a week, and, you know, she still speaks with him and FaceTimes him, and that may change. It may be more as she grows up, but this is just at the moment a setup that works for us. But I wouldn't say it is co-parenting. I don't really know.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one. I think it's something that it's perhaps needs to be. I mean, it's like with everything. When we're trying to put labels on things, they're not going to apply to everybody, are they?
So no.
Maybe that just needs, you know, it teaches us that we need to stop labeling things and try to put things in boxes all the time.
Yeah. I always say, like, Loretta, she sees her dad, but she lives with me, like, and she's parented really by me. So, yeah, that's the label, the long-winded label that I'd say.
I mean, listening to you talk, it sounds like you're absolutely nailing single motherhood, but I'm guessing there must have been some challenges along the way. What do you think? What have you kind of overcome that you're quite proud of?
Yeah, I would say for me, it's quite hard for me to label the challenges because it's always been this way. So I think that, you know, maybe if someone was raising a child in like a two-parent family and then all of a sudden they became a single parent, maybe it would be more of a shock to a system. But for me, where I was a single parent from pregnancy, I've never really known any difference. So it's hard for me to know what it would have been like had it been a two-parent job. In that instance, it's hard for me to say, pinpoint what the challenges would be. I would say that, like, you know, the obvious ones is not having someone like readily available on hand, on tap in the house, you know, more so when she was younger. Like if I needed to have a shower, it's not like I could have been like, oh, can you keep an eye on her? You know, I'd have to take like the baby carrier up and put her there. And then if she starts crying while I'm in the midst of washing my hair, well, then I'm going to have to spend the rest of the day with shampoo bubbles in my hair. You know, it was like, it was more that when she was younger, but as I said, I have nothing to compare it to. So it wasn't really something that I saw as a challenge. I would say the biggest challenge, like the obvious challenge for me of being a single mum at the beginning was the fear of judgment. That was my biggest thing because of everything else. As I said, I can't really call it a challenge because I've never known any different. But when I became a single mum, when I was pregnant, that was my biggest challenge, worrying about what everyone else was going to think of me.
Did you get much judgment? Like, you know, when...
No, complete different. This is, you know, like I said, like I've always been a perfectionist and I've had these ideals of how my life was going to end up. I think it was just this pressure that I put on myself. And I think that when Loretta's dad did leave, I almost felt like well, firstly, I was heartbroken, so that was hard to deal with. But secondly, I felt like a failure, and I felt a bit like, I felt embarrassed, and I thought that people were going to judge me. And then, as I said, when you become a mum, you don't sweat the small stuff, do you? And I think that, like, people's opinions, you don't have time to even think about them when you become a mum. There's so many things to juggle, like, you know, working and keeping on top of the house and keeping on top of creating enough adventures for your children and making sure they're fed and getting their 5 a day. But really, you haven't even got the time to think about what other people think of you. I mean, half the time, I don't even have the time to think what the people that I'm close to think of me, because I'm always maybe 10 working days behind on my WhatsApp. So
I mean, I reply to people. Focus, doesn't it?
Exactly. I reply to people so late, they'll invite me to a party and I'll reply 1 week after. So you just don't have time to even think about it. But I think that was the big thing. The biggest challenge for me was the fear of judgment before I had Loretta. And as I said, it was complete opposite. When I first announced that I was going to be a single mom and, you know, I was doing it alone, the outpouring of support from single mums that have maybe been in a similar circumstance to me, or, you know, new single mums, or children from single mums. Oh my gosh, I got flooded, like, even to the point that, like, I would go to the supermarket and people would come up to me. And I feel like it was, I almost felt like all of a sudden that I'd, like, become part of this, like, warrior club of women that was, like, just for the strong. Like, I felt so empowered. Yeah. I felt so empowered. And then towards the end of my pregnancy, I felt like they'd, like, lifted me so much. And I do feel like single mums, you almost become like a little bit of a club, especially on social media. You become like a little bit of a community, and I feel like single mums really support single mums. And, like, yeah, like, people often talk to me like if they'd recognize me on the street or something. And that's, like, mostly what women, if they do recognize me, they'll come up to me and they'll say, oh, Lydia, I'm a single mum as well. And that's how we get the conversations going. You become, like, part of this club.
So nice.
Which is lovely.
That's why it's so brilliant that you've written this book, because it just feels like it is shining a light and, you know, celebrating these amazing people, amazing women who are doing it on their own.
Yeah, and there's so many of us, and this is why I really wanted to write the book as well, because of, you know, it's such a big statistic now, and, you know, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but they say, don't they, 1 in 3 marriages end in divorce. You know, is it a good thing because, you know, people don't feel like they're stuck with people if they're unhappy? Is it a bad thing because people walk away too quickly? Who knows? But there is such a large percentage of us that will be single mums. You know, maybe it's not fair. You know, I'd like to think that, as much as I love being a single mum, I'd like to think it won't be like this forever. But it's, you know, so many of us will have an experience of being a single mum. And I just felt like, if there's so many of us out there that are like that, and there's so many children that are growing up in single parent households, why isn't it being represented enough? And that was, like, the biggest thing that I found. You know, when I was pregnant with Loretta and I found out that I was going to be a single mum, I was, like, doing all this research and buying all these children's books that, you know, I could put on the bookshelf that would make her feel like, you know, our setup wasn't so different to everyone else's. And I just felt like there wasn't just enough out there that was representing single parent families, which is where the idea was born, why the idea of even writing the children's book came about. And when I did post on social media last year that, you know, the book was being released, that was, like, the biggest thing that I got from my followers, that so many women writing saying, finally, there's a children's book out there that, you know, isn't too informative. It's just a magical story about a mother and her child who happens to be a single mum, you know. So not everything that they watch on TV and not every story that they read has got a mum and a dad in the story. it's just a lovely story, yeah, that shares the life of a single parent family.
It's honestly beautiful. You know, I felt really emotional reading it. And I'm going to be honest with you, Lydia. I don't want to say I had low expectations, but you know when you hear, oh, a celebrity's written a children's book and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I read it and I was like, this is really good.
Like,
it's genuinely a beautiful story. It's well written. Also, the illustrations by Jojo Clinch are just beautiful, aren't
they? She's amazing. She's absolutely incredible. And I'm so glad that Puffin found Jojo for me. I was really specific that I wanted, you know, like I've always been massively into like Beatrice Potter, Guess How Much I Love You, like all the classic traditional illustrations. So I was very specific that I wanted something that was similar to that. I love watercolors. I've always been massively into like pastel colors, but also as well, like with a modern sort of like fresh twist. And then the illustrator process works by, you know, the team at Puffin. They then presented like a few illustrators. And when I saw Jojo's work, I was like, oh yeah, definitely, she's amazing. And yeah, she was so good as well, because she really allowed it to be a collaborative process where this book has been so long in the process. I've been very like territorial over it because it's been my baby for so long. I've been working on it for so long. And she was so good, like from her first drafts, you know, she allowed me to, you know, have my like creative sort of input. And what she's created now, they're amazing, better than I ever imagined.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I honestly think that you're right. It's going to just bring that inclusive feeling to so many kids and mums as well, as they're reading this book to their kids, you know, at bedtime or whatever. So it's fantastic. Lydia, a huge thank you for joining me today. It's been so great to chat to you about your wonderful book. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. No, it's been lovely. It's been really, really nice. And yeah, this is my first actual podcast about the book, so it's so exciting to be able to finally start talking about it. So yeah, thank you for having me on board.
Oh, thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.